Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. My name is Jack Roth, your real estate agent, your podcast host, and today I'm going to put on my best economist hat so I can break down this Fed rate hike for you like I told you I would last week. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you're listening to this, I am glad to have you here. I spoke to one of my lenders, Christian Scoggins, over at Prosperity Home Loans. He is our in-house lender at RE/MAX DFW Associates. Him and I had a great conversation about this rate hike and how it had an effect on market rates and everything like that, mortgage rates, and what we think is going to happen in the coming months, because I think it might surprise you what the actual effects of this rate hike were. So I told you all last week that I was going to be covering this. This is not going to be a conversational style episode whatsoever. It's going to be a comprehensive breakdown of the Fed rate hike, inflation, my predictions of the market, the immediate effects of this rate hike, and some of the downstream effects that we may see in the coming months. So let's get straight into it. I will see you guys in a sec. So I figured it would be important to start this off with some background and some context as to why rates go up and down, especially at the federal level with the effective federal funds rate. But more or less what that means is that the cost of borrowing money has changed. The feds have decided to raise the cost of borrowing money, and now we are at a 5.25 to 5.5% target rate. So they had a decision scheduled for the 26th of July, and they decided to raise the basis points, that 5.25 to 5.5. Those are called basis points. They decided to raise the basis points. And what this does is it helps combat inflation. And you might be thinking, well, how is making borrowing money more expensive helping inflation? You know, that seems kind of counterintuitive. And I thought so too. But I'm going to do my best to break this down for you in a way that we can both understand, in a way that I can teach it to you, and in a way that you can absorb it with hopefully as few hiccups as possible today. So excuse me if I misspeak on this. If you hear anything that you know is wrong or that you want more clarification on, please leave on Spotify in the Q&A section. You can leave questions for me, and I can address those in next week's episode. I also post this on Facebook and LinkedIn every week, so please leave a comment there. If you are an economist and you know more than I do, fantastic. I would love to hear your perspective. But back to what I was saying, by raising the rates, the feds are hoping to combat inflation. The feds have this target rate for inflation. They want it to be at 2%. That indicates a healthy economy. Right now, we're sitting at 2.97%, so we're slightly above that. That means that we've got more inflation than we would like. So they are raising these basis points in order to combat that. And you might be thinking, well, how does raising the points, how does making something more expensive help combat inflation? And essentially, the idea behind it is that as they hike these rates up, it's going to discourage spending, which seems, again, counterintuitive. But essentially what they're doing is they're doing risk mitigation on assets that are considered risky, such as a mortgage. They are also forcing sellers to reduce prices to keep up with the kind of demand and kind of the market attitude, I guess we could say. So essentially their idea is that if they make it more expensive to borrow this money, it's going to discourage people from actually spending money in the market. And then sellers will have to reduce their prices to maintain some competition in the market and stay afloat. It's all kind of ass backwards. Don't ask me why we do it that way. It's just how they figured out what works. So like I said, inflation right now is at 2.97%. Compared to last year, we were at 8.52%. So we are doing significantly better, I would say. And that actually peaked last year on June 30th at 9.06%. So we are way down from that. We're down, you know, 7% there. And so when the feds had this little conversation the other day and they decided to raise these rates yet again. We've heard this news over and over and over this year. I think there's been 4 or 5 rate hikes this year. When the Fed sat down and they decided to raise these rates, essentially what they're trying to do is combat inflation to make everything, not just homes, but make everything more affordable, which sounds great for us, but it does create sort of a tumultuous environment, especially in real estate or really any asset purchasing where borrowing money is more or less necessary. Not everybody's got $500,000 cash on hand, and if they did, you know, it would be a great time to use that to buy a home especially. So I talked to one of my lenders, like I said, Christian Scoggins over at Prosperity Home Loans. He is our in-house lender at RE/MAX DFW Associates. One of my good friends, I see him every time I go into the office and we always have a good chat. And so I give him a call because he answers the phone faster than anybody I've ever met. It's actually incredible. So gave him a call the other day as soon as this decision came out. And I said, hey, what do I need to tell people? What do I need to be educated on? He gave me some great information and some great resources. But essentially what had happened is the market had already priced in this rate hike. The mortgage rate market, I guess that we could call it, is similar to a stock market in the fact that it's going to react to news and not necessarily events all the time. Again, it's all kind of ass backwards, but that's just how it works. So as this decision came out and the Feds raised these rates 0.25 basis points, mortgage rates stayed largely unchanged, honestly. They were still in that 7.5 range that we have been seeing. Right now, as of yesterday, Friday the 28th, they were at 7.375 with no points purchased on that loan. And so I asked him, I said, you know, how does this work? What do I really need to tell people? That's kind of what he told me. He said that the market's already priced in this hike. We all kind of knew that it was coming. So mortgage rates preemptively kind of reacted to that and they rose up. And this did a couple things in the market that I think a few of us could have expected, but it might be, again, ass backwards. That's going to be my word of the day. And home prices actually started rising again, despite the fact that mortgage rates came up in the last couple months. Home prices started rising, which you would, you know, you're probably sitting here going, well, how does that work? You know, isn't it usually the opposite? Yes, usually it is the opposite, but we've got this little problem called inventory. I've talked about it for weeks now, and it's going to be a problem for God knows how long. So we've got very little inventory, mostly because people are holding on to those 2.8, 3.5% mortgages. They don't want to move if they don't have to. So what this really did is it kind of tightened the grip on those people that were already on the fence about staying or moving, and it really solidified their decision to stay and not put their home on the market. So as these people who are sitting here with their 3.5% mortgage or even lower potentially, as these rates came up, they were really not incentivized to move. And what that did is it cut down our inventory even lower. However, demand is relatively unchanged. And so through basic economic, models, supply and demand, we know that if there's not enough supply and there's a lot of demand, prices are going to rise. And so what this did essentially is it kind of artificially killed that supply, and more or less, I guess we could say, raise demand relative to the supply available. Not that that many more people entered the market, but it did have an effect on those prices. And so one of the interesting things that actually happened during this rate hike was that the bonds that underpin the mortgage, for those of you that don't know, mortgage rates tend to have an inverse relationship with 5-year bonds. For whatever reason, again, I'm not an economist. I don't know the ins and outs of all of this. I am just telling you what I was able to digest from both Christian and my own research. But essentially, bonds and mortgage rates have this inverse relationship. And with this inverse relationship, and I'm going to try and break this down. Like I said, I'm not an economist. I'm doing my best here to present this to you in a way that's easy to digest, in a way that my brain can understand it. But essentially, when bond rates go up, mortgage rates come down, and vice versa. When bond rates go down, mortgage rates come up. And a lot of this happens is because people tend to move their money around when the economy presents different opportunities. When there's a bit more uncertainty in the market, people tend to put more money into bonds. And when the market is strong, when the economy is strong, I should say, people are more bullish. They put their money into stocks rather than bonds. And what tends to happen is when the economy is healthy and moving upwards and people are bullish, bond prices or bond rates, I should say, tend to come down, which in turn raises mortgage rates. Super interesting how all of that works. I do not have a degree in finance or economy or economics or any of this stuff. So I'm not 100% sure why any of that happens, but I'm telling you like it is. And what Christian told me is that the bond prices that underpin mortgage rates improved when this decision came out, which typically produces lower rates, which is good news. It means that the market anticipated this well. We priced this in fairly well for what, you know, the situation is. On Friday, actually, rates came up a little bit because the GDP reports indicated a stronger economy than what we were expecting. It kind of blew our estimates out of the water. And so, like I just said, when the economy is healthy and strong, people put more money into their stocks, and this drives bond prices or bond rates, excuse me, down, which drives mortgage rates up. Again, ask backwards, word of the day, get that locked into your brain. So that's kind of the gist of it, I suppose. Sorry if that's not super concise, but there's a lot of information out there, and you can actually go to mortgagenewsdaily.com to get a lot of this really good information. They break it down in a way that's super easy to understand, and it helped me kind of digest all of this and really get a good grip on what I'm actually looking at here. If you are interested in why mortgage rates go up and down, why bond rates go up and down, what the economy is doing, they provide all of that information, and it's fairly up to date. They typically are a day or two in their updates, and it's just good information to have. And so back to these mortgage rates that rose when the GDP reports came out, the stronger economy, essentially, stronger economic data tends to put upward pressure on rates because people are putting more money into stocks, which makes bond rates fall, which rises mortgage rates. So it seems fairly simple once I say it out loud for the 900th time in a row, but in all reality of it, what you should really be doing if you are interested in purchasing a home or getting pre-approved for a mortgage is talk to a trusted professional, somebody that does this for a living like Christian or myself, where we are constantly researching these things and breaking them down and advising you in a way that's going to benefit you most. So what I asked Christian, I asked him a couple questions in relation to what I've heard people are doing in, you know, the market, how they're getting into the market as far as purchasing a home, if they are more or less priced out right now. Sorry if you hear my paper going back and forth here. I've got my notes out. But one of the things I asked him, I said, okay, so I'm looking at the mortgage rates right now online, and it says that we're at 7.05%. That seems a little bit low because I don't expect rates to drop 0.5% in a week. And he said, and this is actually great information, I had no idea that this was a thing, but when these economic kind of websites put out their estimates for mortgage rates, essentially what they do is they are pricing in a point with that estimate. So that 7.05% rate is priced in with a point. So keep that in mind if you are online trying to look up mortgage rates or anything like that. They typically have a point priced into that loan. And for those of you asking what a point is on a loan, good question. I'm here to answer that for you. A point is essentially 1% of the loan amount, and you can buy that down with cash. You can pay that to your lender essentially, and you can buy down your rate by 1 point. Typically, 2 points is gonna bring your rate down 1%. But what we have seen in the last, 12 months, 6 months, is that most people are not buying down their rate because the break even on it is just too long. What we're seeing is about a 24-month break even period on buying points. So what that essentially means is that if you are fronting the cash to buy down your rate by 1 point, 1.5 points, maybe even 2 points, the break even period on it, unless you were going to stay in that house forever, you had made up your mind and you're not going anywhere, the break even on that is 2 years. So that cash could be better used elsewhere, essentially, is what people are deciding. A lot of people are banking on the fact that mortgage rates are predicted to go down in 2024. And by the start of 2025, we should be seeing that 4% mark again. I asked Christian for some of his advice. And here's a couple things that he told me. And he said, number one, don't assume you know things you don't, which I think is just good advice in general for life. But in this specific instance, what that means is don't try and get on the internet and become an overnight professional. I know that this is a little bit hypocritical coming from me, as I am not an economist and I'm telling you all of these things. However, I do have 5 years of being in this industry behind my back, and I can interpret this and kind of understand it in a way that makes sense to my brain. I've been looking at this stuff for years now. So don't assume you know things you don't. Essentially what that means, talk to a professional, a trusted professional. If you have a real estate agent, that is fantastic. If you do not, I am your next one. And it is important that your real estate professional has a team of trusted professionals that they work with. Working with a real estate agent is a lot like climbing into a spider web, I would say. The real estate agent is going to have, you know, hundreds of resources typically. I know for a fact that I have a person for every possible scenario, and sometimes two or three of those people for each scenario. So my network is expansive and it runs deep, which is super beneficial to my clients. And the third piece of advice is pre-approve as early as possible, especially in this market when we have kind of, I don't want to be super pessimistic here, but the worst of both worlds. We've got really high rates, but the market is also moving extremely fast and we're still seeing multiple offers. We're still seeing over asking. We're still seeing all this competition. Get pre-approved as early as possible so you can remain competitive. When you are thinking about putting in an offer on a home, the last thing you want to do is submit that offer without a pre-approval letter, because essentially what that tells the seller is that you are underprepared. You have no idea if you can actually afford this home or not. And a lot of the times they will reject that offer based off the fact that you are not pre-approved. It's a very easy process. You're filling out a mortgage application, talking to a lender, and going through the proper steps to acquire this pre-approval letter. Essentially, it's going to tell you how much home you can afford, and it gives the seller a lot of confidence when you are putting in this offer. So don't wait till the last minute, because if a seller is presented with two offers, one pre-approved and one not pre-approved, they are going to go with the pre-approved client 100% of the time. The other thing that I asked Christian, and this was super popular a few months ago, but not so much anymore, is the 2-1 buy down. If you've not heard of a 2-1 buy down before, it's typically paid for by the seller or the developer. Right now, with the market, with the way things are sitting, the seller very much has the upper hand still. So they're not necessarily incentivized to give you this 2-1 buy down because it costs them a lot of money. And essentially what a 2-1 buy down is that you are buying down your rate 2% in the first year, 1% in the second year, and then back to your base rate in the third year with the hopes that rates have come down enough that you can refinance. Seems like a great tool, but if it's paid for by the seller or the developer and they've got the upper hand right now because inventory is so low and demand is so high relative to that inventory, they're not incentivized to do that. So if they see an offer that includes a 2-1 buy down and a great client, but they get a slightly worse offer without that 2-1 buy down, they're going to go with that because that is going to cause a lot less headaches. It's a lot less, you know, work that kind of goes into getting an offer accepted, but also they're probably going to make more money. They're probably going to net more money on the sale of that home. A lot of that is going to happen in new construction with a preferred lender if it is going to happen at all. And what we have seen, instead of a 2-1 buy down, we're doing a 1-0 buy down. And again, that is typically being seen in new construction right now as they've got preferred lenders. And as these developers, you know, are selling 200-300 homes in a new development, and they've got this lender that is handling all of those clients, or 90% of those clients, they have the volume and essentially the ability to mitigate that risk of incentivizing that 1-0 buy down just through volume. And so we're not seeing a lot of those right now. What we are seeing is a lot of 30-year fixed rates coming in. As prices are headed upwards, we're kind of just seeing your typical mortgage being signed on, a 30-year fixed rate. Even though rates are a little bit higher, essentially what's happening is that people are banking on the fact that, you know, if I can get into the market now, that's fantastic. When rates come down, and they will, we just don't know when, they will come down. But when rates come down, we will use that extra cash to refinance our loan. And so I kind of talked to Christian, and we are very much on the same page of, you know, a lot of people are hesitant in this market. Understandably so. There's a lot of news that comes out every day, and a lot of it is kind of, you know, you look at it and you don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling in your stomach. A lot of it's not fantastic news, but I wouldn't say it's detrimental either. And kind of the conclusion that we drew is that it is a lot better to get into the market now with a higher rate and refinance later than to try and wait until rates come down. Because with the lack of inventory that I've talked so much about, because it is a super important topic, but with the lack of inventory that we've got right now, as soon as those rates start to drop, and I talked about this in one of my first five episodes maybe, for every 0.5% that rates come down, I wanna say it's 500,000 buyers or 1 million buyers will enter the market. So you've got all of a sudden a lot more demand, but not a lot more supply. And so these prices are gonna start coming up pretty rapidly as soon as we start seeing these mortgage rates coming down. So it's gonna be a lot more beneficial for you to, as a buyer, to get into a house and, I don't wanna say suffer, but kind of plan for a higher payment for the next 18 to 24 months. But when these rates come down, these prices are just going to skyrocket again. I would not be surprised if we saw a market very similar to 2021 with the over-asking, 100 people in the open house, 0 days on market sold, you know, everything like that. No inspections, appraisal waivers, blah, 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 blah. I would not be surprised if we saw that again, because I think that people who have wanted to get into the market for so long now, have not had the opportunity to, they are going to flood back into the market. And again, the sellers are going to have the upper hand for probably the fourth or fifth year in a row. You know, as I've talked about previously on previous episodes, and I advise all of my clients of this, a balanced market means 6 months of supply. Right now, we're still at like 2.5 months. So it's very much a seller's market. And I do not see that changing anytime in the near future, especially with the way that inventory is sitting. We're short by hundreds of thousands of homes just in Texas here alone. So as soon as we start seeing these things again, you know, these rates coming down, prices are just going to skyrocket again. And it's going to be great for people that have purchased a home in the last 5 years. They're going to build overnight equity, essentially, and they are going to be able to sell these homes for probably a lot more than what they bought it for, which is crazy because they probably bought it for a lot more than what the sellers bought it for, you know, just 2 years previously. So that was probably a lot of information to absorb and intake on a Saturday. So I apologize for that, but this is all really good information that I think is going to be super relevant to a lot of people. like I said, the news that comes out every day, or at least the news that I see every day, is not so happy-go-lucky. So I wanted to really just kind of break it down and give you my thoughts and opinions on things. And hopefully this was of benefit to you. Hopefully you learned something new. If I could give you any key takeaways, it is bond rates and mortgage rates have an inverse relationship. When the economy is really strong, people put their money into stocks because they are more bullish, and bullish means more hopeful that stocks are going to increase in price. And that drives bond prices down, which drives mortgage rates up. This inverse relationship, I think, is really important to, kind of keep in mind, because that is something that you can track on your own. You know, if you're big into the stock market or investing and you're checking the market every day and rates are, or stocks are down for the day, that probably means that mortgage rates are going to come down because bond rates are going to go up, all these things. The second piece that I would say is that, work with a trusted professional, work with somebody who can understand these things and best assist you, or one of my lenders even. I am happy to point anybody in the right direction to get you the help that you desire. The other thing that I would say is just, kind of tying into that trusted professional thing, get pre-approved. If you are looking to purchase a home, get pre-approved sooner rather than later. A lot of the times you can lock a rate in and get into a house in 30 or 60 days. I know for a fact that Christian has a program over at Prosperity Home Loans where we can get you fully underwritten on a loan before we even make an offer. And then it's just as competitive as a cash offer as far as closing. It could be 10, 12, 14 days. It just really depends on the appraisal and the inspection. So that is a ton of information. Hopefully you were able to digest that. Hopefully I broke it down in a way that was seemingly easy to understand, even though we're kind of talking about these topics that really require a degree to fully break down. But, I'm doing my best here. I'm doing the best that I can. But I hope y'all are having a super awesome Saturday, and I hope you just kick some ass this week. I hope it's super productive. I hope you're in a great mood. I hope the sun is shining, not too hot. It's been 110 degrees here lately, but I hope the sun is shining and you just got a big smile on your face. I will talk to you guys next week. Thank you again for joining me in today's episode. I will talk to you later.